الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. وقال تعالى في مكان آخر: وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام, most respected elders and brothers, and also our sisters who may be listening over the receivers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kindness, Allah ta'ala's bounties and ni'mats upon us are innumerable, both in terms of the material bounties which are confined to this world, the temporary bounties of this world. But over and above those bounties are such bounties which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, which are more valuable than this world and all that it contains. These are the bounties of Iman, the bounty of Islam, the bounty of being able to perform the Jumu'ah Salah. Unfortunately, we are living in a world which is materialistic, and what we see with our eyes, that's what we sometimes confine our thoughts to. But the reality is that there is such things which are beyond our sight, beyond our understanding. And this has been informed, we have been informed by our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam regarding these bounties. A person who performs the one salah with jama'ah, the kind of reward that this person will achieve, it'll only be after he leaves this world that he'll understand these bounties. It is mentioned with regards to one pious, saintly Allah wala, that he had great passion for tilawat and recitation of the Quran, Quran Sharif. Something which today has become very, very scarce in the Ummah. Today, unfortunately, we hardly find time for tilawat and recitation of Quran Sharif. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this forthcoming Ramadan a means for bringing into our lives the Quran Kareem, making the Quran Sharif part and parcel of our lives, not only in Ramadan, but throughout our lives. So he had a great passion for tilawat of Quran Sharif. And he used to make one dua in his lifetime. He says that, Ya Allah, I really love reciting your beautiful kalam. So I want to have this privilege and this honor and this bounty that after I leave this world and when I am placed in my grave, I want to have the speciality and this privilege of being able to make tilawat of Quran Sharif in my grave. So nevertheless, this person passed away. And after he passed away, some of his close associates, they saw a dream. And in that dream, they asked him that, how have you fared and what is your condition? He says, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had fulfilled that dua of mine. And alhamdulillah, from the time I passed away up till now that I am lying in the grave, I have completed something close to about 40,000 khatams of the Quran Sharif. But then he went one step further. He says, but let me tell you something. That three times Qul Huwallahu Ahad that you will recite for me, I appreciate that more than these 40,000 khatams of the Quran Sharif that I am making. And the reason for this, he says, that although I have made such a large amount of khatams of the Quran Sharif, cycles of the Quran Sharif, but I am not receiving any reward for it. I am not receiving any reward for it. But those three Qul Huwallahs that you recite for me, you are reciting it in Darul Amal. You are reciting in the world, you are reciting it in this world, and in this world, whatever good deeds are done, then rewards are earned for them. So when you recite three times Qul Huwallah and send it to me, I appreciate that more than these 40,000 khatams that I have recited. In other words, this world is the place where we have the opportunity of investing in our akhirat, of earning our great rewards. Once the eyes close, once the angel of death strikes, now there is no opportunity any longer. إن الله تعالى يقبل توبة العبد ما لم يغرغب. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام, نبي كريم صلى الله عليه وسلم said, as long as a person is not in the throes of death, he has got life, he can continuously engage in tawbah and istighfar, repent before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But once he is taken by the throes of death, now the doors of tawbah close. Now he, definitely the person will make tawbah because now he sees reality. Now he sees what is akhirat. Now he realizes there is a jannat and jahannam. Now he realizes that he has to go and continue on a journey which will be much longer than the journey of this world. That is why iman and Islam is الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ, those who bring iman on the unseen, that which they have not seen. We haven't seen jannat, we haven't seen jahannam. That is why in one hadith is mentioned, Nabi Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the gist of that hadith, wherein certain servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are engaging themselves in different forms of ibadah. They are making istighfar. They are remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are calling unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah ta'ala then addresses the angels that, what are my servants doing? And the angels respond and say, Ya Allah, they are engaged in istighfar. They are seeking repentance before you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, but they had not seen me. They have not seen me. So what do you think about those servants if they had seen me? The angels responded, Ya Allah, if they had seen you, they would increase the istighfar. Then again it is mentioned and Rick asked, that what are they involved in now? He says, Ya Allah, they are seeking refuge from the fire of Jahannam, from the fire of hell. Allah Ta'ala would respond that they haven't seen the fire of hell. So what do you say if they had seen the fire of hell? So the angel responded, Ya Allah, if they had seen the fire of Jahannam, they would have increased their seeking refuge in the fire of Jahannam. So nevertheless, in that hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then really gives due and gives privilege and praises them that they are seeking repentance before me. They are seeking protection from the fire of Jahannam. They are begging me to grant them entry into Jannah. And yet they had not seen all these things. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then praises them and promises great rewards for them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this opportunity of performing our Jum'ah Salah wa Jama'ah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the opportunity of performing all our Salah wa Jama'ah, especially for the men folk. That famous hadith wherein Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that it is my desire, the gist of the hadith, it is my desire to gather all the youth and go around in this city of Medina Sharif, finding all those homes wherein the men folk who do not have any valid excuse, but they are performing their farz salah, their compulsory salah in their homes. In other words, they are performing their salah. Not that they are not performing. They are performing their salah, but they are performing their jama'at salah in their homes without any valid excuse. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who was rahmatul lil alamin, we always hear this, he was a mercy unto mankind. His heart was full of mercy and rahmat and compassion and love for his ummah. But yet he is expressing a desire to burn those homes, making us understand how serious it is. Sahaba ikram mentioned that not even a munafiq would miss the salah wa jamaat in our times. And one sahabi says that sometimes, many a times we used to see sahaba ikram would be very, very sick. But there would be two sahaba holding, he would be hanging onto two sahaba and his legs would be dangling, but he would still come to the masjid to perform that salah. In another riwayat is mentioned, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that that person who, that mu'min or believer who does not perform his salah, he misses his salah. So it is like a body without a head. And this we heard, this explanation we heard from our late Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, Allah Ta'ala fill his grave with noor, where he mentioned that a body without a head has no life in it. It can never survive. So therefore today the ummah, the vast majority of the ummah unfortunately, do not have 5 times salah in their lives. So in other words, this body of the ummah has become dead, it's become lifeless. And that is why a corpse cannot defend itself. A corpse has got no life. We always hear the example that you get the lion in the Kruger National Park, and you get the lion in the museum. So both will have, please do not touch, do not come near. But for 2 different reasons. The lion in the Kruger National Park, do not touch, do not go near, because that has the capacity and the capability of tearing you apart and destroying you. It has got life. In fact, that one roar of the lion is sufficient to, as mentioned there, one person, he had this shock and enthusiasm to keep a lion as a pet. So he reared a little cub and he brought that lion up until the lion became used to people. It started roaming around the house. So some guests came to visit him, but they were not aware of this lion that was in this person's home and roaming around the house, walking around the house. So the guest was given one room to rest in. So late at night, there was a need to relieve himself. So when he got up, lights were all out, and he saw two little shining things that were in the room, something shining. So he wondered, what was this? So when he switched on the light and when he saw what was before him, this powerful lion that was staring at him. So there was no need for him to go to toilet. He sorted it out there and then. So in other words, that lion has got such a, just the mere sight of the real lion, it can send a shiver through the body. Hazrat Mawlana Abdul Hamid Sahib, the Muhtamim, our Muhtamim Sahib, he gave the example. One person had mentioned to him, he went to the Kruger National Park, or one of the game reserves, and they had just witnessed a kill, and the lions were all coming around and so on. So quite a few tourists were parked off and witnessing and watching the lions. One or two of them were taking out their cameras and viewing everything, filming everything. So he says, one of those main lions turned around and took a few steps towards the vehicles and tourists and just gave one roar. So he says he saw with his own eyes, that person was holding the camera, that camera fell from his hands. And he said he himself was holding the steering wheel. He went lame, his hands went down. There was such a awe and in that roar of the lion. So that's a lion with life. That's a lion with life. And on the contrary, you get the lion in the museum that has been stuffed. It looks the same. But that lion, they'll say, please do not touch. Because if you touch that lion, it'll collapse. It'll get destroyed. It'll get damaged. People won't be able to see it any longer. So there are two different reasons. Today the ummah has become such. The vast majority of the ummah, there's no life in us. That is why our governments can just be toppled. Muslims can be destroyed and bombed. Muslims can be tortured and killed. And look at the Sahaba ikram, a small minority of 313, but they all had life, real life in them. And what life was that? The life of Iman. The Iman was, the current of Iman was flowing through their bodies. That current of Iman was so strong that wherever they went in the world, that current caused that entire city or that entire village to become electrified. Look at Sahaba ikram when they went to Europe and they went to Portugal and they went to Egypt. We always hear the language of those people even changed with the barakah of the Sahaba ikram. Nevertheless, coming back to what we were saying, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with many, many bounties and many, many opportunities. This wealth of Iman is extremely valuable, respected elders and brothers. And we have to constantly make sure that we protect this wealth of Iman. A person has got some valuable asset. He's got gold, he's got diamond. He doesn't leave it lying around. He makes sure that it is kept secure all the time. So nevertheless, this wealth of Iman, something that will protect this Iman of ours, is taqwa. This Allah consciousness. If a person develops taqwa in his life, it will be a means of protecting his Iman, protecting his Islam, protecting his deen, and ensuring that he remains on the straight path. Hazrat Maulana Arif Billah, Shaykhul Arab al-Ajam, Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, Allah Ta'ala fill his grave with nur also. He mentions one line of couplet. Main jaha bhi rahu, jis fiza mein rahu, mera taqwa hamesha salamat rahe. In one dua, he's making a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we must understand these Ahlullah, these pious people, their poetry is not just mere poetry. But their poetry is a gist, and it is an essence. It's been derived from Quran and Hadith. They're expressing their deep-hearted desire, and it's been inspired by the Quran and Hadith. He said that, Ya Allah, wherever I am, in whichever environment I find myself, O Allah, this valuable asset, this taqwa that you have blessed me with must remain safe and sound. My taqwa must never ever be shaken. This Allah consciousness, the fact that my Allah is watching me, my Allah is seeing me, my Allah is listening to me, and at any moment Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can seize me. When this consciousness comes upon a person, then it becomes very, very easy for this person to obey the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what shaitan tries to destroy. فَلَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا وَلَا يَغُرَّنَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُورِ The Mufassireen mentioned there that shaitan tries to deceive a person. How he deceives a person, that don't worry you are still young. That person passed away, it happened, he had a heart problem. Your heart is still fine, don't worry. You still got a long time. That person passed away, he was an old man. You are still young. You still got a long time to live. That person passed away in a car accident, he was reckless. That's why he passed away. That person passed away in a plane crash, there was a problem with the plane. No problem with your plane. So shaitan continuously, whereas a person should say to himself, that person, what about that young person who passed away? I am young, what about those so many young people are passing away? That person had absolutely no heart problem whatsoever and suddenly passed away. So that person should counter shaitan. That just as the angel of death could strike upon that person, the angel of death can strike upon me. That is why Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, if I'm not mistaken, in that hadith where Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised him that, Ya ghulam, kun fi dunya ka'annaka ghareeb aw aabiru sabeel aw kama qala alayhi salatu wa salam. That you should be in this world as if you are a traveler or a stranger. So there he mentions, he says that, إِذَا أَصْبَحْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَظِرِ الْمَسَىٰ That when you wake up in the morning, do not wait for the evening. وَإِذَا أَمْسَيْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَظِرِ الصَّبَاحِ And when the evening sets upon you, do not wait for the morning to come in. وَخُذْ مِنْ صِحَّتِكَ لِمَرَضِكَ وَمِنْ حَيَاتِكَ لِمَوْتِكَ When you have good health, you should do good deeds. So that when you become sickly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you the same reward. It is mentioned of one pious person on Thursday night, as Abbas from Darul Zakaria gave the talk, and he mentioned that when a person, in the manner in which a person lives, that is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes him leave this world. We saw it in our late as Yunus Sahab rahmatullahi alayhi, from the time we had an opportunity of meeting him. From that time till the last, we always saw him engaged in dua and dua and dua. Before programs, especially when he would go out, he would be engaged in fervent dua, as if he was absolutely helpless, as if he had absolutely no power, as if he was absolutely weak, and he had complete trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So nevertheless, we found that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him leave this world engaged in dua too. So there was one great Allah wala, when he was passing away, and he was in the ICU, in the coma room, ICU in the state of coma. So there, the close associates saw him, that even in that condition, being unconscious, but his fingers were still moving. As he was living, he used to engage in zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his fingers. So even when he was in that condition, they saw that his fingers were moving in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How you live, that is how you will leave this world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all tawfiq to lead our lives in the pleasure, in the obedience, in the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So nevertheless, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this opportunity, this month of Ramadan, which is at our doorstep now. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us life to witness this Ramadan, not so that we can enjoy the wonderful foods and the wonderful savories and delicacies, rather so that we can invest in our akhirat. We can remove all the dents and all the rust from our spiritual cars, so to say. A person's house has become dilapidated, the paint is peeling off, there are leaks here and there. So now he gets an opportunity to restore and renovate that home. So there's a little bit of effort that is needed. He's got to move the furniture, he's got to scrape the old paint out, the house becomes a little bit dusty. There's knocking and banging and all different kinds of restoration taking place, building taking place, and there's dust and there's cement. So he undergoes that difficulty because he knows at the end of the day, after I finish with this, when I will walk in this home, so it will bring me comfort, it will bring me enjoyment, I'll find pleasure and happiness. So just like that, our spiritual homes, our spiritual hearts, they've become dented. There's rust there, there is dirt there, there is filth. Our Hazrat Ma Yunus Sahib Rahmatullah always used to say that we have made garbage bags of our hearts. All the filth that you can find is found in our hearts, spiritual filth. Whether it's malice, whether it's greed, whether it's hatred, whether it's pride. This is all found in our hearts. This month of Ramadan is there to purify this heart, to restore this heart. A person's got a car, so he takes his car, he sends it to the panel beater, he knocks out all those dents. And then that car comes out in showroom condition. So this month of Ramadan, this is the opportunity. Allah Ta'ala Himself mentions, what is the purpose? Why have I made fasting compulsory upon you? And this ayah, time is running out. But even in this ayah, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, there is so much of mercy. Allah Ta'ala said, this is not some kind of a test. This is not some kind of a punishment upon you, that I want to make life difficult for you. No, this is an opportunity. I want you to restore your hearts. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. This entire system of fasting being obligatory upon you is so that you must, your objective, what is the ultimate goal? The objective is to achieve your taqwa. So that you develop this Allah consciousness within yourself. And one example our Ma Yunus Ab Rahmatullah always give, almost every Ramadan. He says that when a person fasts in the month of Ramadan, so during the entire day, so many hours he's fasting. So it comes to the last few moments before he needs to break his fast. So now if a person comes to him, he says, brother, see, you fasted majority of the day. Although it is necessary to break your fast at, you know, sunset time. But I mean, you've already achieved your goal. You fasted most of the day. So why didn't you break your fast 10 minutes before the Maghrib Adhan? 10 minutes before sunset. So at that time, the person with even the weakest taqwa and the weakest iman, he said, no. I fasted so long. Just 10 minutes or 5 minutes left. No, I will. At that time, even the Imam of the Haram can come to a person and can persuade the person to break his fast before the allocated time. A person becomes so strong, he says, no, never. He said, but nobody is watching you. He said, but Allah is watching me. Allah is seeing me. So just like that, a person must become strong when it comes to every single sin, that nobody is watching you. What's the in just taking these stolen goods? You're getting it at half or quarter of the price, nobody will know. At that time, a person says, no, my Allah is watching me. My Allah is seeing me. Nobody else will see me, but my Allah can see what I am doing. So just like that, a person becomes strong. This month of Ramadan is an opportunity to restore our hearts. It's an opportunity to bring our hearts in showroom condition. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grants us the opportunity of valuing every second. Respected elders and brothers, this month of Ramadan, unfortunately, we do not have. Our hearts are so filthy. We do not have that spiritual sight. But those people of basirat and sight, they could sense the month of Ramadan coming months in advance. Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to always make the dua already from the month of Rajab. Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa balighna Ramadan. In anticipation for the great month of Ramadan, oh Allah, give us barakat in the month of Rajab. Give us barakat in the month of Sha'ban. Spiritual barakat. And Ya Allah, most of all, let us reach the month of Ramadan. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gives us tawfiq of deriving, soaking ourselves, drenching ourselves in the rains of rahmat, in the rains of maghfirat, in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that's descending in this month of Ramadan, and make us emerge from the month of Ramadan completely restored, completely forgiven from all our sins and all our deeds. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.